Now, prophecies in Scripture do foretell terrible events that will take place just before the return of Jesus Christ. And the first six trumpet plagues, described in Revelation 8 and 9, which we went over this morning, you know, they are terrifying to imagine happening. Let's go to Revelation 11, Revelation chapter 11, and look at the seventh trumpet. And today is the Feast of Trumpets, and we look ahead to the time of all seven trumpets sounding. And the other trumpets prior to the seventh one foretell some horrifying events to come in our future. But in Revelation 11, verse 15, we come to the seventh trumpet sounding. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" You know, we heard this morning details as to what will happen when the seventh trumpet sounds. But as we see these times seemingly drawing closer and closer, and we don't know how close the end times are. We don't know when things will begin to culminate. But I'm sure we've asked ourselves as we look around and see things going on in the world, well, what's going to happen to me? You know, if the end time great tribulation and day of the Lord does come upon us in our lifetime, then what will happen to us as individuals? What will happen to the church during these times? Well, on this Feast of Trumpets afternoon message, I'd like to talk about what will become of you and of the body of Christ during the period that we know of as the Great Tribulation and the day of the Lord. Will God's church be protected? Is there a place of safety? Is it something that we can count on and rely upon? If so, where is it? And who will be there? So the title of this sermon is, "What About the Place of Safety?" What about the place of safety? And I'd like to give seven thoughts regarding the place of safety for God's church during the Great Tribulation. You know, in advance of the second coming of Christ, it's important to know that there is hope available for escape from the horrific events to come. However, it's even more important to know that we, as the bride of Christ, we must endure to the end. We must be counted worthy to escape the things that are coming and to stand before our elder brother. So the first point, the first thought I'd like to present is that the end time place of safety is an actual place. The end time place of safety is an actual place. Now the phrase "place of safety" is not found in the Bible. You know, it's church speak that we've talked about and developed over the years. And it refers to a place where God will bring his church to spare them from the Great Tribulation. Now, what scripture comes to your mind? What scripture would you say is the primary one noting a place of safety? Well, how about the next chapter over, Revelation chapter 12. Let's look at Revelation 12 and verse 6, where it says, Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You know, there's a lot of details in this short passage. You know, we see that the woman who is symbolic of God's people, and in this case, the church of God, you know, she didn't just beam over into the wilderness. You know, she fled. She fled to a place in the wilderness. And this verse and others describe a flight, a fleeing to a place of protection, a place prepared by God for his people. It says that they should feed her there. Now, the woman doesn't have to fend for herself. Now, I don't know who they are necessarily. Maybe they're angels of God, perhaps. Don't know for certain, but you know, the church is fed. It's fed there for a period of time, 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years. Now, Jesus gives some additional information in Matthew chapter 24. We'll read there from there next in Matthew 24. The Olivet Prophecy, as it's called, because Jesus spoke it on the Mount of Olives. And it talks about the end of this age, the persecution of the church, the coming of the great false prophet, the great tribulation, and the return of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of events written about here. In Matthew 24, we'll just break here in verse number 20. Here Jesus says to his disciples, Matthew 24, verse 20, he says, "And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath." And if you look up the word flight, escape is what the Greek word means. You know, pray that your escape may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. And that would indicate that this escape covers a finite period of time. You know, it is to be completed in 6 days or less. Otherwise, you know, it would cross into a Sabbath day. This flight to safety is a relatively brief but specific journey to an actual place. Continuing on in verse 21, it says, "For then there will be great tribulation." You know, this great tribulation does not begin before the church escapes, but after. "Then there will be great tribulation, such as not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." You know, the absolute worst tribulation this world has ever seen or ever will see, this is saying. In verse 22, it says, "Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." So there is an actual place that God has in mind for the church to escape to for protection from the horrible events ahead of us. So this brings us to the second consideration, the second thought. Point number two is, be ready. The time to flee will likely come suddenly. Right? Be ready, the time to flee will likely come suddenly. You know, this escape is, in one way, it's very sudden, but it also shouldn't surprise us if we're ready for it. In Matthew 24 and Luke 21 talk about massive problems and issues and wars and rumors of war, you know, chaos in the world. You know, we've seen some of that ourselves just in the last week with the events that were talked about this morning. These chapters write about chaos and destruction and earthquakes and famine, hunger, pestilence, disease, persecutions on the earth, the church being hated by all nations. Let's read from Luke chapter 21. Luke 21. You know, yesterday in our church-wide Bible reading, we read from Deuteronomy chapter 28. The blessings and cursings chapter. I can't help but think that, you know, we're seeing some of these cursings, some of these things being played out in our country today. You know, the devastating hurricane recently, as an example. You know, at some point, we'll see that before anybody goes to a place of safety, there will be big, huge problems on the world scene. And trials that even God's elect must endure. Luke 21, verse 16. "You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost." Now, this seems to be a contradiction here. You know, we have some that are going to be put to death, and some where it says, not a hair of your head will be lost. Well, this is speaking, of course, in the ultimate sense, that Although some may be martyred for their beliefs, their life essence won't be lost. Their resurrection to eternal life is guaranteed. In verse 19, by your patience possess your souls. This is referred to this morning. By your patience possess your souls. And that word for patience, hupomone, it means endurance. By your patient continuance, steadfastness, endurance. Knowing that even though a lot of bad things may be happening to us and around us, being patient, being steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord, doing these things will ultimately save our soul. In verse 20, it says, but when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. And so there are specific events that the Bible says will happen, triggers that show us that the time to flee is near. And so when these events happen, they should not catch us by surprise. We should be ready for them. Now, the next several verses here in Luke 21 talk about a number of future events. In verse number 28, Luke 21, verse 28, we read, now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And so we are to always be watching, to be looking, to be paying attention, being ready for our redemption, our change that this day represents. You know, rising at the seventh trump is only as far away as the end of our physical life. It does draw near. It does indeed draw near. Back a few pages to Luke chapter 17. Here in Luke 17, also talking about the end times. Luke 17, verse 31. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. Likewise, the one who's in the field, let him not turn back. You know, when the time to flee comes, you know, the things that we have accumulated in this life, our possessions, our savings, our treasures that we have, they'll all be meaningless. And we'll have to be willing to quickly leave those things behind. And, you know, that may even include, sadly, our loved ones. Verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife? Remember how she looked back at what she was leaving behind? Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two men in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. One will be taken and the other left. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. And so this escape, this being taken into the wilderness to a place prepared by God, it's something that is going to happen suddenly. In verse 37, and they answered and said to him, where, Lord? And so he said to them, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Eagles are symbolic of God's protection. And we'll see that more in a few minutes. When the body, where the body is, the body being the church, God will protect it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Just one more scripture here regarding being ready and preparing ourselves for a time that will again suddenly come. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, Paul's saying. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You're all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so once again, we are to always be ready. Be ready, for the time to flee will likely come suddenly. And point number three, the place of safety is literal protection for the vast majority of God's church. The place of safety is literal protection for the vast majority of God's church. Let's go back to Revelation 12. Again, this verse here, Revelation 12, verse 6, is probably the most direct scripture about a place of safety. Revelation 12, 6, it says again, "Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." Now drop down to verse 13. Verse 13 of Revelation 12 says, "Now when the dragon, Satan, the devil, when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." The male child, child with a capital C, meaning Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being born through the line of Judah. Verse 14, "But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent." So again, 1,260 days. 1,260 divided by 30 equals 42 months, or 3.5 years. Time, times, and half a time. Now, this is a unique event that hasn't happened yet. Flying to her place on the wings of a great eagle. But there is a similar situation, a similar event that has happened in the past that we can find in Exodus chapter 19. So hold your place in Revelation 12 and let's turn to Exodus 19. And just a little more background before we start thinking about jumbo jets flying out into the wilderness and taking us to places where they likely don't have any airports. We don't know what exactly this language means, two wings of a great eagle, but other than we do see it being used on another group of people in the past. Exodus 19, beginning in verse 4. We have God speaking to Moses, and he says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now you saw what I did to the Egyptians," God's saying, "how I protected you, how I brought you here to me at Mount Sinai. Not on literal eagle's wings, but God supernaturally brought Israel to Mount Sinai using many miracles along the way. And so he will supernaturally, in some way, bring the elect to the place of safety. There's quite a parallel here. Verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And so God brought Israel out of Egypt on the eagle's wings. Of course, it was not an easy journey for them. There were a lot of tests along the way, a lot of trials, but God was there with them. He was there with them visibly all the way. We take this symbolism to mean that just as he was with ancient Israel, God will once again take a group of people to a place that he has prepared and bring them to him. Let's continue on in Revelation 12. In verse number 14, we see again that the church was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. You'll notice that it's not places of safety, but it's a singular place, the wilderness. You know, Scripture doesn't support several places of safety or protection that I'm aware of. One place. It says, nourished for a time, times, and half a times from the presence of the serpent. From the presence of the serpent, you know, it would seem that Satan is not there. Now, I don't know if maybe his influence still remains or not, but it's away from the presence of the serpent. And it is a protected place, a special place. So, in response, verse 15, the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. You're going back to Egypt, our analogy about Egypt. You know, God takes the Israelites out on eagle's wings, and then for 6 days, and then they arrive at the shore of the Red Sea. And then what happens? Pharaoh's army shows up. And here in Revelation 12, the serpent spewed out water like a flood after the woman. You know, maybe Satan is here sending an army. Maybe there's an army coming after the church, just as Pharaoh again sent his armies after the Israelites. And then when you are there, and you, when the church, when you see armies coming, war machines coming behind us, pursuing us, will we really believe and have that faith in God that he will deliver us, that he will protect us, that the earth's going to open up and swallow them? Remember how the earth opened up, so to speak, for Pharaoh's army? And they came right down to the bottom of the sea, and then the waters crashed over them. They were swallowed up there. We see in verse 16 that the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Now that's protection, isn't it? Future protection that we could be the beneficiaries of. Now going on, it seems that there may be others who are not taken to that place of safety. Some may need to patiently endure the tribulation and difficult times. Verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring. You know, the remnant, as the King James Version puts it. You know, the rest of her children, as multiple other translations cite, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So again, the place of safety is literal protection for the vast majority of God's church. And we're not told why some who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, why some aren't protected. And there's speculation out there about that. And some have speculated that maybe it's because those others aren't fully committed to God's ways, and they may still need refining in the fire. You know, the Laodicean church, you know, some have attributed and said. You know, Scripture doesn't tell us that I'm aware of specifically why some of the remnant won't be taken to the place. But the Bible does indicate and does show that there are things that we can do that will increase the likelihood that we can be among those who are protected. And so we'll be getting into that in a few minutes. So again, point number three, the place of safety is literal protection for the vast majority of God's church. Now, Point number four, where will the place of safety be located? Where is it? Well, there have been various ideas down through time. Does Scripture give the location of the place of safety? Well, the answer is not for certain. Not for certain, but there are a few passages that may give us hints. One of those is found in Daniel chapter 11. Let's go there. Those of you who go back to the Worldwide Church of God days may recall hearing speculation on Petra being the place of safety. Petra, which is located today in the country of Jordan, but in biblical times, this area was a part of the land of Moab. And many theories were made over the years in the church that this is where God was going to take his people. And it could very well be. And we read in Daniel 11 that this area where Petra is located will escape the hand of the king of the north in the end time. Daniel 11, verse 40. And at the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. And he shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand: Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. And he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. And so it says Edom, Moab, and Ammon are going to escape this attack from the king of the north as he sweeps through and goes through plundering the surrounding nations. Isaiah chapter 16. Isaiah 16, verses 3 through 4 is a passage that God is speaking of Moab specifically. Moab and Ammon are often prophesied about together. One reason is because they are brothers. They were the sons that were born to Lot through Lot's daughters when they fled into the mountains after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, here in Isaiah 16, speaking to the nation of Moab, verse 3, Isaiah 16, verse 3, take counsel, execute judgment, make your shadow like the night in the middle of the day, hide the outcasts, do not betray him who escapes. Let my outcasts dwell with you, O Moab, be a shelter to them from the face of the spoiler. For the extortioner is at an end, devastation ceases, the oppressors are consumed out of the land. So this region, just east of the nation of Israel, it's a hotbed for tribulation. Think about it, if this area of the world is where the place of safety is at, then it's going to take a measure of faith for us to be willing to go there, to, in a sense, maybe be putting ourselves into harm's way. Just as the Israelites had to go forward in faith with the Red Sea there in front of them, the Egyptians behind, mountains on either side, so one day we may be called upon to go forward into our Red Sea, a place that, physically speaking, could mean death. But we are to go forward, absolutely trusting in God to see us through. Now, there's a few other scriptures that we could turn to, but none of them conclusively prove that Petra is the place of safety. But again, along with a few other scriptures, that's why the theory was put out there. Herbert Armstrong used to say that if the place of safety was not in Petra, then its location is not revealed in the scripture. Some traditions say, another thing to consider, that some traditions say that just before Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD, a revelation told the Christians that were there in the area of Jerusalem to flee to the mountains of Pella, Tapella, a city also located in modern-day Jordan. And so that's another theory that's been put out there. But the bottom line is we don't know for sure where the place of safety is located. And ultimately, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Now, point number five, why are some given safety? Why are some given safety? Well, there's probably a lot of theories that we could come up with, but let's dive in and ask the Bible why some are granted safety at various times. Luke chapter 21. Here in Luke 21, Jesus tells all the members of the church to do something very important here. This in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 34. Luke 21, 34, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, with drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore. The Greek word for watch means to be circumspect, to be attentive. These verses are talking about paying attention to what is going on around us, paying attention to ourselves and our spiritual life. Verse 36 again, watch therefore and pray always. Pray always. There's actually three Greek words in that word always. You can look it up later. But the first word means in. And the second is every. And then the third refers to a measure of time. The modern King James Version puts this as pray in every season. And what it's talking about is that all the time, in every measure of time, pray. Pray without ceasing. That's how the Apostle Paul put it. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be, one, counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. And two, watch and pray always that you may stand before the Son of Man. And it's important to note that these two aren't the same things. There are a few who may not escape the things that will come to pass, like we read in Revelation 12, but all those who purify themselves in the body of Christ will stand before Him at His return. But we're told here to pray that we be counted worthy to escape. And so take heed to yourselves, have constant prayer, because those will be considered worthy to escape to a place of safety. And they, again, will certainly rise to meet Jesus Christ in the sky one day. And so we need to be close to God in our spiritual walk as a precondition of escape. Now, the five foolish virgins of Matthew 25. Now, you remember that they scurried about there at the end. They were trying to make up for lost time when they saw the bridegroom coming, but the door was shut, and they were left out. Why? Well, because they didn't keep their lamps filled with oil. They didn't continually stir up the Holy Spirit within them. And so as it says, five were protected and five were not. And Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 10, that because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. Now, that's a very strong indication of something that we can do to be given safety, perseverance, patient continuance, endurance. Now, the book of Zephaniah, an interesting read at this time of the year, Those of you on the Bible reading program, you'll be getting to the book of Zephaniah this Sunday. But let's go there now. You know, someone earlier said that we don't go to Zephaniah very often, but this will be the third time in the last 5 days now. You know, the word Zephaniah, the name Zephaniah means the Lord has hidden. The Lord has hidden. And this book is about preparing people for the day of the Lord, preparing people for God's judgment on them, for their sins. And some of this, you know, likely applies to Zephaniah's time when the peoples of Israel and Judah, for the most part, had fallen away from God. But a number of references to the day of the Lord refer to a future time of God's judgment. But here in Zephaniah 1, in verse 7, Zephaniah 1, 7 says, "Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests." The Hebrew word here for invited, I was very interested in when I saw that, is it's likely a familiar word to us. It's Kadesh, Kadesh, Q-A-D-A-S-H, and it means to consecrate, to set apart. You know, God has set apart repentant people for an opportunity to escape the Lord's anger. Now, chapter 2, Zephaniah 2, the first few verses here are interesting to me. Zephaniah 2, verse 1, "Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you." You know, right now, God's church, physically speaking, is scattered, isn't it? But one day, God may command us, he may command us to gather together. Gather together before his judgment begins. In verse 3, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." Again, not a guarantee, as it says, it may be that you will be hidden, but we certainly won't be protected if we don't have these godly traits of justice, of humility, of being right before God, these things that we're reading about. In Job chapter 5, in Job 5, we have another glimpse of those who are given safety. You know, these are such important concepts for us to consider, not just so that we can get ourselves saved or to make sure that we, you know, get on the lifeboat, but rather this needs to be our way of life, these things. Because we want God to be able to say, you know, these individuals were faithful. They're diligent, they're honest, they're meek, they're humble. They're not faking it. They're not just doing what they have to do to slide in at the last minute. This is their way of life. Therefore, then they're in a category where God can protect them. And so Job 5 verse 11 tells us, "He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety." And so we wait on God to lift us lowly and crying and sighing people to safety. So again, the question, why are some protected and some not? After all, they're both keeping God's commandments. They're both in God's church. They both have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But there seems to be a different spirit, a different attitude between them, an attitude of meekness and teachability and humility and love towards others versus an attitude of arrogance, self-importance. In Isaiah chapter 33, there's a warning to one mentality and a blessing to the other. Let's consider here being in the group that pleases God by how we live, therefore being among those that are blessed. In Isaiah 33, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah says, "Woe to you who plunder, though you've not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you." In verse 2, now here's the other side we want to be on. "O Lord, be gracious to us. We've waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble." You know, not a time of trouble, but the time of trouble. Jesus Christ is our salvation in the time of trouble. You drop down to verse 14, Isaiah 33, verse 14. "Who should be afraid?" Well, it tells us the sinners in Zion are afraid. "Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites." Now, you and I do not need to fear what's ahead. You know, we certainly need to endure it faithfully. We need to be strong and of good courage, knowing that God lives in us and he will perform in us whatever he's called us to do. Going on, "Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire?" Well, here's the answer, verse 15. "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from the hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil." You know, that last expression is interesting. You know, if you're the type that likes to go out and see movies that have bloodshed in them, and you like evil in books or on TV, and your entertainment, and you love to play video games about killing people, then you may be in a different group. And there are those who talk of, you know, on the other side, those who talk of loving God, loving their fellow man, and saying things that are encouraging, those that are uplifting, those who walk uprightly, who don't want any part of evil in their lives. In verse 16, it says, "That individual will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him." So the church is going to be protected. The church will be fed, you know, bread given. His water will be sure. You remember how God took care of the Israelites in the wilderness, providing with that manna every day and providing them with water as well? He's going to do it again. He's going to do it again with his church. Bread and water among the rocks. So why are some given safety? Well, it appears that they have been counted worthy by how they live their lives. Next thought, next point, number 6. Will I be going to the place of safety? Will I be going to the place of safety? Well, we can all ask, and perhaps we've all asked ourselves that question at some point. You know, in the past, some church members have worried excessively about it. Is there a place of safety? Well, will I get to go there? Will I be protected from the great tribulation? You know, we just read scriptures that show that it's largely up to you and God's assessment of your spiritual state. Ezekiel chapter 14. Being in a certain church group does not give you a leg up on going to the place of safety. Here in Ezekiel 14, God addresses twice here whether we can deliver anyone besides ourselves. Ezekiel 14, verse 13. "Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, like what we're seeing in our nation today, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine on it, and cut off man and beast from it. Even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they would only deliver themselves by their righteousness, says the Lord God." And these individuals, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were very righteous people. But God said that only they themselves would be delivered by their righteousness, because of their righteousness. And skipping down to verse 20, again, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. And so the lesson here is that we will not make it to the place of safety on someone else's coattails. Now, you know, some would say, well, maybe the place of safety is when you're dead. You know, before services today, I had someone said to me, you know, there's two places of safety. And he's right. There are. Of course, when you're dead, no one can hurt you. The next step for you, for the one who's dead, who died, living a godly life, the next step for you is assured. In fact, you know, you know, those of you who've been to funerals and you listen to the funeral service, one of the things that we often pray about is that, you know, we commit the person into the ground for safekeeping and until the time of the resurrection. And so for some of us, most of us maybe, God may intend that the grave be our place of safety. So, will you and I get to go to the place of safety? Well, we can't say for sure. You know, the vast majority of the church, it seems, will be there, but we do know for sure that 100% of those that do get there have fulfilled the conditions that we're reading about, that the scripture describes. So, point number seven, my last thought regarding the place of safety is that God will see us through. God will see us through. Brethren, the place of safety isn't the goal. The kingdom of God is the goal. Rising at the seventh trump to meet Jesus Christ is our goal. As Christ said in Matthew 16, verse 25, he said, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, our focus as Christians is outward, desiring to be useful by God in his service for the benefit of others, to help others, not to be continually preoccupied on our own safety or our own well-being. Let's go to Psalm chapter 31. God has sprinkled throughout the Bible promises of protection for his people. You know, some we've already read, many, many more that we won't get to today. And these words here in Psalm 31, they're encouraging words that David declares about God. Psalm 31, verse 19. "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." Verse 20, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." And so verse 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And so God lays up his goodness for those who fear him, those who trust in him, and place their faith in him. Remember Jesus Christ once asked the question, "When I return, will I find faith on the earth?" Faith in God during difficult times is extremely important. In Psalm chapter 91, Psalm 91 is another encouraging chapter. Here in Psalm 91, it begins in my Bible with the heading, Safety of Abiding in the Presence of God. In Psalm 91, verse 1, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at the noonday. Now, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, God can protect us. No matter where we are, God will see us through. And I know that we all yearn for the fulfillment of this day, culminating with the return of our Lord, our Savior, and the establishment of God's kingdom here on the earth. You know, being changed from flesh to a new, completely new spiritual body. You know, we yearn for that time. We look forward to it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Very encouraging words here, written by the Apostle Paul, talking about what we have to look forward to in this day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You know, this is the place that I want to be. I want to be here. I want to be a part of that change. For our final scripture today, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All right. Can't think of a more incredible experience than rising up to the clouds, to the sky, to meet my Lord and elder brother. Do you find yourself dreaming about that sometimes? Do you dream about rising and being there, meeting Jesus Christ in the clouds? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So, brethren, what about the place of safety? You know, it is a wonderful place that God prepares, will prepare for His church. a literal place of protection for the vast majority of God's saints from the horrible Great Tribulation. What's important is to be counted worthy to be there, and to be counted worthy to stand before Jesus Christ. So, brethren, as we continue through this Feast of Trumpets and beyond, let's be encouraged, knowing that God has promised and planned deliverance for his people. That way of escape brings his people to him, where we can be nourished to become more ready to serve him and to serve humanity in the kingdom. Now, brethren, there is a great tribulation coming. Absolutely. But there is also a place of safety for those who are his. Absolutely. And so, brethren, I pray that these words today have been a comfort to all of us.